It's good to see everyone tonight. Thankful that Dale and Faye are okay. It just goes to show you that you never know what's going to happen. We take our traveling to and from a lot of times for granted. And we should always be thankful for every time we have a safe journey. I'd like to speak a little bit tonight about the proof of a good heart. Do you have a good heart? Does the person sitting next to you have a good heart? Do your parents have a good heart? Do your children have good hearts? Your friends and neighbors, the people that you work with? Well, how would you know? Is it up to you to determine what a good heart is? Or can we find that there is actually a revelation of how to test a good heart? In Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 2, it says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Have you ever talked to anybody that says, I'm wrong, I'm always wrong. I always do the wrong thing. Not very often. Especially when you're pointing out what God's Word has to say. A lot of times people try to defend themselves, say, well, this is what I feel in my heart, what I think is right. Every man's way is right in his own eyes. But the Lord weighs the hearts. The Lord tells us whether our ways are right. The Lord tells us whether our heart is right or not. And the way that we can find out if our heart is right or not is by comparing what we think to what God reveals from His Word. Jesus said, you shall know them by their fruits, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 20. However, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 9 through 11 we read, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators nor idolaters, nor idolaters, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Do these people have a good heart? No, they must not have had. Fornicators, idolaters, homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, covetous, drunkards. The list could go on and on and on, couldn't it? Certainly these people don't have a good heart. Wait a minute. Such were some of you. Such were some of you. Some of the members of the church at Corinth had practiced some of these things. And it's not just incidental practice. He says, such were some of you. You habitually practiced these things. This was your manner of life. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Something happened that these people drastically changed their lives. You know, it used to be said in Bible times, in the times of the New Testament, that if you lived a sinful, immoral life, you were said to have lived like a Corinthian. How would you like to have that as the reputation of the city that you lived in? I mean, not only did these people practice these things, it's almost like they were expected to practice these things. And everybody doing what seems right in their own eyes, their heart was so hardened to any form of righteousness and truth, like we talked about this morning, the fact that, well, you know, we kind of feel within ourselves that we should treat people the way we would want to be treated. Well, these people didn't. These people did what they wanted to do, what made them feel good. It didn't matter how other people, what their victims were affected. Something changed them. Same heart, but something different happened. Instead of the fruits of immorality and sin. They were washed of all of those things. They were sanctified, set apart for a holy purpose. They were justified instead of condemned, declared right in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. And therein lies the key. Not that the Holy Spirit personally acted upon them, but the Holy Spirit, in revealing the will of God to them through the Word of God that was spoken to them, convicted them of their sin, and they turned from their sin to walk with Christ. Jesus also said in Matthew 12 and verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. So the proof of any heart is what it treasures. What's your priorities? What's first and foremost to you? What are you putting into your heart? You see, what comes out of our heart is generally the result of what goes into our heart. And you realize that when I'm talking about the heart and the Bible, as we're talking about the heart here tonight, it's not talking about that which pumps the blood throughout of our cardiovascular system. We're talking about our thoughts, our mind, what drives us spiritually. What comes out of our heart is what goes into our heart, and what we allow to go into our heart is a lot of times based upon what we treasure, is most often based upon what we treasure. Do we treasure the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, or do we treasure those things that are spiritual? In Proverbs 24, in the first six verses, it says, do not be envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them. For their heart devises violence, and their lips talk of troublemaking. Through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel you will wage your own war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety. Are you envious of evil men? Who are your heroes? Who do you want to be like? Through wisdom a house is built. Wisdom goes beyond knowledge. Wisdom goes beyond skill. Pax builds houses. Bruce builds houses. There's others who build houses. I don't think he's talking about the physical structure here. He's actually talking about a home, about where you live. By understanding, it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. What's in your home? What do you value to be in your home? Expensive furniture and fabulous art? Or do you value truth and honesty, loyalty, humility? Those are the things that we truly value in a home, aren't they? They don't have to be questioning what the wife or the husband or the children are doing, we know that we can depend upon them. That doesn't just happen. It takes daily talking to our children about these things that are most valuable. A wise man is strong and increases his strength. Now, obviously, he's not talking about necessarily physical strength, because he says a man of knowledge increases strength. And so a wise man is strong in his wisdom, he's increasing in knowledge, and then he's applying that knowledge. By wise counsel, you will wage your own war. Wait, I'm not the president of the United States. I don't have to worry about waging a war. We wage a war with Satan. We wage a war with he who is desirous of devouring us and destroying us. We need to know how to do that. You know, every soldier goes through basic training and then goes through advanced individual training. Learn the skills of warfare, of their weapon systems, so that in the heat of the battle, when the adrenaline takes over, he doesn't have to think about what he's doing. Muscle memory and training kicks in. He knows what to do. You and I need to do that. We can't, in the heat of battle, be trying to figure out, well, how should I respond to this temptation, to this trial? We need to be training ourselves in the Word of God and prepared when that time of confrontation comes up in our lives. In a multitude of counselors, there is safety. And certainly, we have the counsel of God's Word. And we have the counsel of faithful brothers and sisters in Christ that we can turn to, study with, pray with, and stay with, if necessary. What are you putting into your heart? In Mark chapter 4 and verse 24, Jesus said, take heed what you hear. Be careful about what you're hearing. Why? Because Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing. Any faith comes by hearing. Anything you trust and practice in your life, it's there because you've heard it and it sounded good to you, and you're going to do it. Even if it's the thoughts of your own heart and your own mind. This seems right to me. This is what I'm going to do. Faith comes by hearing. The faith comes by hearing the Word of God. The faith that saves. The faith that will strengthen us and keep us from the wicked one is the Word of God. That's what we need to hear. And more importantly, that's what we need to be practicing. And so, if we're going to be talking about the proof of a good heart, what's the one passage that I'm going to turn to tonight? Well, it would be the parable of the sower. And you'd be right. You'd be right. And we're familiar with this. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time in analyzing it, because that's not our purpose tonight. But I want you to be reminded of Jesus' telling of this parable, and then the explanation of the parable as it's found in Luke chapter 8, verse 4 beginning. And when a great multitude had gathered and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on a rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop, 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears, let him hear." Jesus would use that statement many times. "He who has ears, let him hear." Well, everybody has ears. Are you using them? Not just to hear a sound and to hear a voice and to hear words, but listen, really hear it, let this sink into your heart and consider it. And the disciples asked him, saying, "What does this parable mean?" I mean, what Jesus had said was common knowledge to everyone. You sow the seed, you throw the seed, and some of it's going to find its way to the footpath that's hard, and some of it's going to find its way to stony ground that has a little bit of soil, topsoil covering up the rocks, but the soil's not very deep, not much moisture there. Some of it's going to fall among the weeds and the thorns and so forth, and yeah, it's going to get choked out. That's why people go out every morning and weed their gardens, because they don't want the weeds taking the nutrition from the vegetables that they desire. Some of it's going to fall into well-cultivated earth, and it's going to bring forth a crop. Everybody understands that. Why are you talking about sowing seed? What does this mean? And he said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." This, of course, has a reference to Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 9. That this is the very thing that would happen as the Word of God would come to the ears of people. As the Word of God was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, many would see Him, many would hear Him, and not know who He was. And so he explained. The parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the Word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the Word with joy. But these have no root. For a while they will believe, but in a time of temptation, they fall away. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. The proof of a good heart. The proof of a good heart, Jesus said, is those who, having heard the word, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Who will hear and keep the word so that they might bear fruit, those who have a noble and good heart? What's the proof of a noble and good heart? They receive it. They receive it. It germinates. It grows. You know, they have weeds and thorns in their life. They have the cares of riches and the pleasures of life in their life. But you know what? They weed those things out. There's rocky places in their life. There's places that they receive the word with joy, and there's a time of temptation, and they'll fall. And they'll recognize that and they'll say, you know, I need to get these rocks out so that the word can go deeper. I need to be serious about God's word and His will and me glorifying Him in the practice of His will. The good ground are those who, having heard the word, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Do you treasure the word and the will of God? In Luke chapter 8 and verse 18, it says, Jesus said, therefore, take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him will more be given. And whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. It's an interesting statement, isn't it? Be careful how you hear. What kind of a hearer are you? Because the kind of hearer you are is a proof of what kind of heart you have. Whoever does not have, I believe what he's saying there, whoever allows Satan to snatch the word of God away from him, whoever allows the stony places to stay and not let the word of God go deeper into them, whoever allows the cares of life, the pleasures of life, the thorns and the weeds to have precedent in their life, even what he seems to have will be taken away from him. That's a very challenging statement, very sobering statement for me. That the places that I am unwilling to break up the hard places in my heart, the places that I'm unwilling to remove the stones from my heart, the places that I'm unwilling to rip up the pleasures of life and the distractions of life that keep me from prioritizing God's will in my life, those things are going to destroy even what I have. Won't make any difference. Won't make any difference if I've been baptized for the remission of my sins. Won't make any difference if I have a perfect attendance record at worship service and Bible studies. Won't make any difference if I read the Bible every day, if I'm not going to practice it every day. What good is that going to do me? We've got to allow the Word of God to improve the condition of our heart, to prove that our heart is good, that we're going to live for Him and not for self. What kind of hearer are you? Do you hear to do? Or are you just here to know? In Proverbs 4 and verse 23, we read, keep your heart with all diligence. This requires effort on our part. This requires focus on our part. This requires prayer on our part. For out of your heart spring the issues of life. Again, we turn to another incident in the life of Jesus. In Luke chapter 6 and verses 45 through 49, Jesus said, a good man, and we've noticed this, out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now notice, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? We've talked about this before. The term Lord signifies one who has authority. The fact that they saying, Lord, Lord, it's absolutely, we recognize you as the one who has all authority. You have the authority to tell us what to do. You have the authority to tell us what sin is. You have the authority to shine the light of truth into the darkness, darkest areas of our heart and to expose those things. You have the authority to lead us in paths of righteousness to the throne of the Heavenly Father. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and then not do the things which I say? You affirm that what I say is true. You acknowledge it's true. But you don't do what I tell you to do. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you to whom he is like. Now, of course, you'll recognize what we're going to read here real quickly. This is how Jesus concluded the Sermon on the Mount. But, you know, Jesus used these illustrations in more than one place because of the simple and plain truth that was easily understood and applied to the situation that he was teaching. Notice how it applies here. Why do you call me Lord, Lord? And then not do the things which I say. Whoever comes to me and hears my saying, everyone who has ears, let him use them. Hears my sayings and does them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man building a house. What did we talk about? A wise man building a house a little bit ago. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently against that house, it could not shake it, for it was founded on a rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built his house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And that ruin of that house was great. Now, I'm not a house builder. But I know you just can't go out and start laying stuff on the ground and build a house and expect it to be there very long. The stream wouldn't have to beat vehemently upon it to fall. It would be just a matter of a little bit of time and it would fall. The man who hears and does not practice what he hears might affirm that it's true, might say that's the way I ought to live, that's a hard spot in my heart that I need to break up and let the Word of God go deeper. That's a stony place in my heart that I need to get the stones out and allow the Word of God to go deeper. That's a thorny, weedy area in my life where I'm distracted from hearing more about God's Word and learning more about Him and practicing what He would have me to do. But I don't remove those things from my life. Hear. Acknowledge that it's true. But don't do anything about it. Going to fall. Going to fall. Well, I'll get around to that one of these days. I know I need to improve in that some, but just not right now. How much time do you have? Do you have a good heart? The proof of a heart is what it treasures. What are you putting into your heart so that you might bring out of it? You know, the interesting thing to me about all of this is that you don't treasure living to the glory of God until you find out that you can. Have you ever thought about that? No one ever just in and of themselves starts thinking about, you know, I need to live to the glory of God. You don't even know you can live to the glory of God until God teaches us that you can. The opportunity that is ours to do so. And that becomes more valuable to you, more treasured to you than anything else in life. Anything else in life. What are you putting into your heart? If you want to live to the glory of God, are you putting the Word of God in there? Jesus said, you will know them by their fruits. Now, he's not talking about the way that they dress or their attendance record. He's talking about everything in their life. He's talking about what they do when they hear the Word of God. Do they practice it? Do they do it? And you know, that's one of the things that encourages me more than anything else. Is that over and over and over, if we had time tonight, and if I could do so without embarrassing people, I could go through this entire congregation and talk about people who have heard the Word of God, they've been convicted by the Word of God, and they've changed their life to do the will of God. And are continuing to do so. That's the proof of a good heart. The text we noticed at the beginning of the lesson was, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. How does he do that? By subjecting our hearts to his word. And saying, let's see what they do with it. Let's see what they do with it. Do you treasure the Word and the will of God above everything else? Because the Lord is weighing our heart. If you're here tonight and you haven't obeyed the gospel of Christ, and it's your desire to do so, you're ready to turn from whatever sin it might be that you're certainly convicted of. I'm sure that whatever sin it is, it's not near as bad as what the Corinthians practiced. But they were washed and they were sanctified and they were justified, and you want to be too. You want to be set free from your sin. And embrace the hope of eternal life and live to the glory of God from this day forward. If you're here tonight and you're a child of God, out of favor with Him and need to make things right with Him, there's some hard areas in your heart that need to be broken up, some stones that need to be removed, some weeds and thorns that need to be pulled up. Can we assist you in that? Can we pray with you and for you? As you renew your conviction to live to the glory of God and prove your heart to be a good heart, dedicated to the glory of God. If you're subject to the invitation tonight in any way, we encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.